Praise the Lord. This morning, I just want to declare to you that this book, the scripture, the word of God reveals to us the will of God, the written will of God. We always want to ask God for the details in life. What's your will about this and that? But I'll tell you, if we just get the written will, if we would just really see how God wants us to live in the scripture, that takes care of most things. And this morning, our key verse, well, it just couldn't be any more clear. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That's pretty simple, isn't it? In everything give thanks. This is the will of God. This is the will of God. I know we all know this. We're supposed to be thankful. This is the will of God. If we're not giving thanks, we're out of the will of God. And here's the thing. If we are living in the will of God and obeying His word, James tells us, 1:25 tells us that it brings a blessing. We're going to be blessed in what we do. You see, as we do this, we obey the word of God. We're just bringing more and more blessings on our life as we are giving thanks in everything. In everything, yes, in everything. Not necessarily for everything, but in everything. In every situation and circumstance of life, we're giving thanks to God. So how you been doing on this being in the will of God? In everything, giving thanks. Did you know that over 150 times the scripture talks about giving thanks or being grateful? That's a lot of times. It's really important in the scripture. It's really important to God. Psalm 92 verse 1 is one example. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. It's good to give thanks to the Lord, not only because He is worthy and He deserves it, but I'll tell you, when we give thanks to the Lord, it brightens our day. It just brightens our countenance. It brightens our outlook on life. When we're thankful, it helps us to stay humble before the Lord. You know, we just finished that series on pride. But when we are giving God thanks, see, we're giving Him the credit. We're giving Him the glory. We're not taking any of it. It keeps us humble before the Lord. And did you know when we are thankful, it makes us more pleasant to be around? Amen. And we point others toward a good God when we're thankful. Even when things go wrong, well, we're still supposed to be thankful. When there's trouble and problems, in everything, give thanks. All of us have negative situations to deal with, hurtful things that have happened. We all go through struggles and heartaches. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, a lot of us, we manage to be thankful one day a year. It's Thanksgiving, right? It's coming up this week. Or maybe we manage to be thankful when there's some big blessing that just came in our life, some answer to prayer, and so we're thankful in that situation. But I'll tell you, if we're really going to be doers of the Word of God, then we need to learn how to be thankful in everything. So how can we do that? How can we always be thankful? I want to tell you, it is a matter of perspective. There's always something to complain about. And there's always something to be thankful about. It really is a matter of perspective. We got to learn to look on the bright side. One older gentleman, he learned to look on the bright side. He said, well, I got really old. He said, I had 2 bypass surgeries, had a hip replacement, both knees replaced, had a battle with prostate cancer and diabetes. I'm half blind. I can't hear anything quieter than a jet engine. I take about 40 medications, and some of them make me dizzy, and some of them make me subject to blackouts, and I've had problems with dementia, and I got poor circulation. I can't hardly feel my hands and feet. I can't even remember if I'm 85 or 95, but thank God I got my Texas driver's license. That's looking on the bright side. I don't know if that's really a good example of looking on the bright side, but I just have to tell you, something in our human nature tends to look for the negatives in life. I mean, it's supposed to be every cloud has a silver lining, but somehow it seems like a lot of times every silver lining has a cloud. We got to look at the bright side. In Proverbs 4:18 in the New American Standard, it says, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. Is your path getting brighter and brighter? I tell you, you need to look on the bright side. It's a matter of perspective. Because no matter how stormy life may be, no matter what's going on in our world, the scripture says we're to give thanks. Yes. How? How can we do that? Perspective. There is a movie that I just love to watch once a year or so, and especially if I'm going through a little bit of a rough patch, a hard time, I'm down a little bit, I just like to watch this movie. Most of you have probably seen it, and all of you have probably heard of it, but it's A Wonderful Life. It's a Christmas movie. It's about a man who, well, he's at the end of his rope. He's been falsely accused, and there was money that was lost, and that money ended up being stolen, and he is not only going to be bankrupt, but it looks like he's going to face criminal charges, and as a result, he turns grumpy and angry, and he ends up mistreating his wife and kids and his friends and everybody, and then finally, he wishes that he had never been born. There's some people in the scripture that got to that place. They wish they'd never been born. Well, his angel shows up. Anybody know his name? Clarence. Clarence shows up. And Clarence arranges for this man to be able to have a vision, to see what the world would be like if he was never born. He sees his wife, who never married. Of course, there were no children. His children didn't exist. He was never born. But so much of the community, the town, the city where he lived, it's dark and drab, and there's so much sadness, and it's just all wrong. And he can't stand it. He can't take it. And so he begins to want his life back. Now he wants to live. Now he wants his life back. And so when he comes back to reality, he is so excited. He's so filled with joy. He's just beside himself. Now get this. Nothing has changed. He's still in big trouble as far as he knows, but he's so glad to have his life back. What did change? His perspective changed. Now, if you know the movie, you know that the end of the story is all of his friends all showed up and all gave him so much money, he became the richest man in town, and all of his problems went away. But even before he knew that, he was joyful and excited. Perspective. That's the only thing that changed. Most people think that it's in the cards that life has dealt them that determine whether or not their life is good, whether or not they're thankful. It's not in the cards. It's in the eyes. Matthew 6, 22 and 23, the lamp of the body is the eye. This is Jesus speaking. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? You got bad eyes? Jesus is not talking about physical eyes. He's talking about the way we see things. He's not talking about the physical body. He's talking about our whole life. And if, you see, if we have the wrong kind of perception, if we're looking at things negatively with darkness, then it brings so much darkness. It brings so much trouble. That's all we see in our life. But if our perception is good, if we have good eyes, we see things the way we should, then it just fills our life with goodness and blessings from the Lord. See, if we can get God's perspective, we'll be full of light. We can look on the bright side and we can give thanks in everything. Jesus looked at everything with this perspective. All things are possible with God. That changes everything. When God is in the equation, anything is possible. No matter how bad it looks, no matter how negative it might be, you see, if we look at life through this lens, all things are possible to him who believes. It changes everything. See, then we can believe God and we can trust God. We can be thankful all the time. So whatever you're facing, I want to tell you, it doesn't matter how big it is. It doesn't matter how bad it is, how far gone it is. All things are possible with God. We're talking about the one who can stop the sun in the sky. We're talking about the one who can restore the years the locusts have eaten. You see, there's just nothing that our God cannot do. And when we look at life with that perspective, we can always give thanks. As a Bible-believing Christian, I want to tell you, we should always see things through that lens. It's a faith perspective. See, we should never leave God out of the equation, but always remember the Lord is with us. For every problem, I say this often because people need to know this and we need to remember it because we all have problems. For every problem, there's a promise. Whatever the problem, I'm telling you, there's a promise in the Word of God. And when we lay hold of the promises of God, it changes our perspective. You're in a problem right now, but you get a hold of that promise and it changes perspective. See, when we're lonely, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. When you're sick, he says, I am the Lord who heals you. When you're down, he gives us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. When our heart is broken, he is the healer of broken hearts. When we're surrounded by strife and conflict, he is our refuge and our peace. When we're weak, he gives us his strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm just telling you, you can go on and on and on. Whatever the problem is, there is a promise, and that gives us a whole new perspective on that situation where we can give God thanks in everything. See, you may face battles. You may even go through some things that are apparent defeats, you know, but at the same time, we can still be thankful. In the midst of it all, in everything, give thanks. You know, when you live by faith, no matter how it looks, there's a bright side. You got to look on the bright side. Philippians 4:6 through 8, Now, when we're going through life and we hit a problem, we're struggling and we're upset, the Bible tells us really clearly what to do. It tells us, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And this morning, I want to make issue of this. I want us to take note of this. It's with thanksgiving. You know, I hear even preachers in church culture today making this statement and acting like that, well, you know, sometimes you just got to go to God and complain. Just tell him how it is. Don't you dare. You never complain to God. Read the Old Testament and you'll see where God destroyed some people because they complained. You don't complain to an almighty God who loves you and is a good God. Amen. Listen, we need to have a heart of thanksgiving. We go to God because we believe and we trust him. Why are you praying if you don't believe? So we pray and we give thanks. You know why you give thanks? Because you believe. With thanksgiving, that's how we pray. Let your requests be made known to God. And you know what? If we really believe, we pray with thanksgiving, we say, thank you, Lord. We don't have any reason to be upset anymore. And that's where verse 7 says, the peace of God that passes understanding will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. See, our perspective, to a great degree, it's formed by the way that we think. The things that we focus on in our thoughts, they become thought patterns, and that is part of our perspective. So verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate or think on these things. It's hard to have the right perspective and in everything give thanks if you're thinking about the wrong things. And there's all kinds of things you can think about that'll head you down a path of ungratefulness. I mean, what if it said this? Whatever is untrue, whatever is dishonorable, whatever is wrong and unjust, whatever is impure, whatever is ugly, whatever is contemptible. If there's anything just really sorry and worthy of criticism, think about such things. I'll tell you how you can get there real fast. Facebook. Good grief. I've told you before, I can only take so much of it. It'll bring you down. It gives you the wrong perspective. You listen to the world, I'm telling you, you're not going to have that attitude of gratitude where it just flows out of you to give God thanks. You got to watch what you allow into your heart and in your thought patterns. He tells us very clearly how we're supposed to think. Think on these things. If you're going to have this perspective to look on the bright side, you can't be looking, thinking about all the darkness and all the trouble and all that's wrong in your life and all that's wrong in this world. I'll tell you, all it'll do is make you miserable and ungrateful. And you see, our thanksgiving, it is an expression of our faith. We give thanks because we believe. And it will not only is it an expression, you see, because you believe, you give thanks. It's amazing how when you give thanks, it also strengthens and reinforces your faith. And that's really important because believing is the key. Mark 11:24, Jesus says, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, you will have them. Why do we pray with thanksgiving? Because we believe we receive them. And Jesus says you're going to have them. So if we believe, really believe, I want to tell you there's never a situation that's too hard for the Lord. And so we can be thankful. Amen. Our hope and our trust is in the Lord. We don't complain as though God has let us down or failed us, but we trust him no matter what it looks like. And there's a lot of times in life that we don't understand In fact, we don't understand why God doesn't do what we think he ought to do. But we need to remember what the Word of God says in Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Somehow, God is able to take the good, bad, and the ugly and work it all together for good. Joseph's brothers envied him and hated him, and they sold him into slavery. Many of you know the story. If you don't, all you need to read the book of Genesis. But Joseph was sold into slavery. Then he's falsely accused and thrown into prison and forgotten. But eventually, God brings him out. He raises him up as a great leader in Egypt. And because of Joseph, the whole known world was saved through a great famine. And when Joseph's brothers come and they're reunited with Joseph, they're afraid of him because of what they did to him. But Joseph says to them, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." God took, listen, what evil men had done, and he turned it around and brought good out of it. And I just want you to know that's how big our God is. Don't limit our God. We need to keep that perspective. He can do anything. And even when it looks really, really bad, we can trust him and still give thanks to him. There were terrible floods in Mozambique in the year 2000, and families were separated, and the death toll rose. But one minister, he and many of his church members climbed up into some trees, and as the waters rose and the time went by, hour after hour, they waited. Well, he preached to them for a long time, but after so many hours, they were tired of hanging on, and they were sleepy, they were exhausted, but they knew they couldn't let go or the water would just carry them away. And then they started being bit by mosquitoes. I mean, it's insult to injury. Here we are stuck on these trees, and now we're being bitten by mosquitoes. But I guess his preaching wasn't that exciting because they were falling asleep. But the mosquitoes kept them awake. And it sounds crazy, but he gave the glory to God for sending the mosquitoes to keep them awake. I don't know about you, but I have never been thankful for mosquitoes. I consider it a more curse than blessing, but it is amazing how God can use something that we don't like, and yet somehow he can use it for good in our life. We end up thanking God. I look back at some of the hard times and the difficult places in my life, and I got to tell you, I didn't like it. I would never have chosen it, but I see good that came out of it. The well-known theologian of yesteryear, Matthew Henry, he had his wallet stolen. And he said, "Let me be thankful first because I've never been robbed before. And second, because they only took my wallet. And third, they only took my wallet, they didn't take my life. And third, because there wasn't much in it. And fourth, because I was robbed, but I wasn't the one who robbed." Now, that's a different perspective. Here's a man that found a reason to be thankful even when he got robbed. He was thankful for several things. Did you know there's always a bright side? There's always a different perspective. And we shouldn't be like the world where we're so negative, we just go, you know, always upset, always being out of shape. We don't have to be. We got to have a different perspective than people that don't know God. Right. It really is about perspective. Let me tell you, our perspective needs to be that we look at what we have, not what we don't have. One of the reasons that people aren't thankful is they don't appreciate what they have. Being happy in life is not dependent on getting everything you want. It's dependent on being happy with what you have, Amen. With the blessings of God. The scripture says this in 1 Timothy 6 through 8. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Oh my goodness, that's not the American way, is it? With these we shall be content. Can you imagine? Can we get there? We got way more than food and clothing, don't we? Shouldn't we be content? And one of the main reasons that people are not thankful is they are discontent. And it really is about perspective. The big difference between a complainer and a thankful person, perspective. So easy not to appreciate the blessings that we have. In our Pride series, we talked about the problems with comparison. But I'll tell you, that comparison trap really causes a problem when it comes to being thankful. We compare with others and we start thinking we deserve better, and there's that pride issue. But along with that, when we compare, so often we end up losing our gratefulness. We're no longer grateful for what we have because we don't have that. I remember years ago, 35 years ago, when I was on staff at Grace as a youth pastor, I was always so thankful to be full-time in ministry and thought that I was paid well and just really appreciated it. And then a man that was on staff did a survey of other churches in the area of people, churches of similar size and people of similar positions and tenure. And he came back with the results of his survey, and it was that we were all underpaid. And all of the sudden, we were all discontent. What changed? Nothing except perspective. We're still being paid what we were before. I was happy, I was grateful, and now I'm not. I'm not being treated right. Perspective is the only thing that changed. It's amazing how that we can compare like that. It gets us messed up. If you go to a third world country, now there's a comparison maybe some of us need to make. They would be happy to have a fourth of what we have. And they do without so much. One man and his wife were visiting in Thailand, and they were invited to a celebration with the king and queen, and a man picked them up and was taking them to this celebration, and he didn't speak English very well, but he was trying to talk to them, and he asked them, he said, "Where do you live?" And they said, "Richmond, Virginia." Richmond? He thought that meant they were rich. He said, "So you're rich?" And they said, "No, we're not rich." He said, "Do you have a car?" They said, "Well, actually, we have two cars." "And what about your house?" He said, "Well, it's just a simple house, about 10 rooms, you know, it's no big deal." He said, "Me and my family, we live in a two-room house." And then it was quiet for a while, and finally he broke the silence again. He said, "You are rich." And the man said that he was kind of embarrassed as he finally realized that to this man, they really were rich. His perspective. Do you realize how rich you are? Oh, you know, we see all the rich and famous in our culture. We think, "Oh, I'm not rich." It's a matter of perspective. Do you have a car? Are you thankful? Or are you discontent? It's a matter of perspective. One guy has a car he's had for several years, and it's got 100,000 miles on it. It's still a nice car, but he's like, "You know, it's got 100,000 miles on it. I'm ready for something new. I'm sick of this old thing. I'm getting rid of it." So he goes down, he trades it in, gets him a brand new car. Well, the dealer takes that old car with 100,000 miles, and you know, he's going to detail it. He's going to get it all looking just right, and he parks it out there on the lot. A man comes on the lot, and he sees that car. Wow, what a nice car. And he works a deal, and he takes it home. He's so excited. He can't wait to show his family. He gets the whole family out there. They all go for a ride, and they're so excited and thankful for their new car. It's just perspective. Most of us don't really appreciate what we have the way we should. We need to think of all that God has blessed us with, not thinking about what we don't have, not thinking about all that's wrong, but thinking about all the things that are right. It's amazing how often we don't really appreciate things until they're gone. You don't really appreciate our health sometimes until we're sick, until we're struggling. And then, oh, how we would love to be healthy again, and how important, how wonderful that would be. But I'm just telling you, there's so many things where we just don't really give God the thanks that he deserves every day. We find that one thing that's not right, and we focus on that. You know, we've all heard this phrase. There's this saying, familiarity breeds contempt. But I just want to apply that a little bit different way. You see, a lot of the time, it's the blessings of God that we enjoy every single day that we end up not thinking much about. We just kind of take those blessings for granted. I mean, are you healthy? Are your children healthy? You got so much to be thankful for today. We don't need to be upset and disgruntled about what we don't have. Now see, some of you say, well, no, I'm not healthy. But you still have so much cause to be thankful. I'm just telling you, you got to have that perspective. Are you thankful for your spouse? Somebody praying, hoping, believing they're going to find the right person someday. Then they finally get that person, they get married. And now they don't ever thank God. I see this, I hear this. Sometimes people, you know, they complain about their spouse. Everything pretty much might be good, but they find that one thing they don't like. One lady, she says, well, my husband's a good provider, but you know, he's not very romantic. And another lady, she says, well, my husband, he's romantic, he's real sweet, but he's not a good provider. Good grief. Why don't they just swap and everybody be happy? I'll tell you why, because there's been a lot of people that tried it and they still weren't happy. You can always find something wrong to complain about, and you can always find something to give thanks for and to be happy about. I talked with one couple one time that they're having a lot of trouble in their marriage, and this was many years ago, all right? Don't come tell me I was talking about you in the service. I had a guy one time say, I know my wife talked to you. I'm like, buddy, the Holy Spirit knows what's going on in your life. I don't need to talk to your wife. But one couple came, you know, they were all just having all kinds of marital problems on the verge of divorce. And here was their issue. The wife said, you know, I'm having to work a part-time job because he's not a good provider. And I wanted, you know, I'm trying not to let too much of my attitude get in here, but I was wanting to say, good grief, you poor thing. Here was a man who had a decent job, made a good living, but, you know, they had some needs and some wants that she had to work part-time, and man, was she upset about it. She was going to divorce him because he was not a good provider. This was a man in our church who loved God, served God, lived for God. He didn't beat her or mistreat her or the kids. He didn't drink. He didn't run around on her. He was a good man. And I was thinking, Lady, there's a long line of women looking for a man like what you got. But you want to divorce him because he's not a good provider. Good grief. You can always find something not to like. I mean, every spouse has faults and flaws except for Carmen. And I've told you, it's kind of irritating sometimes. Yeah. How'd she get stuck with him? Grace, just grace, grace, grace. And you know what? Sometimes people get that way about their job, too. They complain about their job, finally quit their job, and they go to another, and it's out of the frying pan into the fire. Now they're complaining even more. But what if you had no job? What if you lost your job tomorrow? We ought to be grateful. I knew a man that worked at the same job for many years, a couple of decades, and he just kind of took it for granted, and I think because of that, he didn't really do a good job anymore, and he ended up losing that job, and it took him a really long time to get another job. It took him a couple of years before he was hired full-time again, and here's the thing. When he got hired again, got a job, he didn't make as much money as he did before. He worked more hours, and it was harder work, but he was so thankful. He was so excited to have a job again. Smile on his face, and I'm telling you, his attitude about work, it was totally different. Perspective. If you're going to be thankful, you have to be content with what you have. Everyday things, I tell you, they can become routine and we don't realize we should be thankful for them. We just need to count our blessings sometimes. One pastor went to the island of Tobago. He was ministering in a leper colony and he was leading the worship, and as he's leading worship, a woman had been facing the other way, and she turned and faced him, and the leprosy had so disfigured her that she had no nose and no ears. And it just took him aback. And she raised a fingerless hand. And she said, "Could we sing Count Your Blessings?" He was so emotional, it just overwhelmed him. He left the service and somebody followed him out. And they said, "I guess you won't ever sing that song again." He said, "Yes, I will. I won't ever sing it the same again." How much do we have to be thankful for? How often are we're not counting our blessings, but just, you know, we're so distracted by all the negatives and looking at the wrong things when we're so blessed. Perspective. Look on the bright side. Look at all God has blessed you with. Even if there are things in your life that aren't right, there's lackings and needs and battles and struggles, keep this perspective that God loves you and He's for you and He's going to work things out. I want to tell you, we have it so good. We who know the Lord, we should be thankful every day for all that He's done for us. All of us, yes, we face times of hardship and tragedy and trials that would steal away our joy and make it difficult to give thanks. But listen, it is during those times that we especially need to give thanks. The sacrifice of praise, giving thanks to His name. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. You see, it's during those times that sometimes we realize our greatest blessing of all. Our relationship with the Lord. That in those times, He's promised that He would be near to the brokenhearted. In those times, we realize the depths of His love, that nothing can separate us from His love. And He lifts us and strengthens us and helps us. And we can say, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Stand with me. We're going to pray. I want our prayer partners to come.